Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, covering the entire chapter in this message, which we've titled Daniel's Last Vision. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, titled Daniel's Last Vision. This is part 1 of 2.
It's a wicked, 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 wicked world that we live in, filled with wicked people raising wicked little kids. People marching in parade, declaring pride and sin. Leave me only wondering when the end begins. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken and all the wicked burned. Justice will be meted and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world. There's a devil, 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 devil walking to and fro. His minions work against you no matter where you go. But Satan is defeated, the fallen Lucifer. His destiny, destruction, and his judgment is assured. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken and all the wicked burned. Justice will be meted and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world.
On the third.
It's an evil, evil, evil time to be alive. Just before unleashing Revelation chapter 5. Vials, seals, and trumpets are ready to unfold. It's a happy ending and the ending is foretold. When the loving, just, and holy King of righteousness returns, the righteous will be taken and all the wicked burned. Justice will be meted and the just receive reward at the end of this wicked, wicked world. At the end of this wicked, wicked world.
Amen. Alright, that's not your current events update, this is. We always talk about in-house discussions between Christians. Well, this is an outhouse discussion. Gay Pride. June is Gay Pride Month. Proud to be an abomination. That's what they're proud of. When you walk up and down the street, Gay Pride, you're proud of the fact that you're an abomination. An unrepentant, wicked person. Had one of them tell me this week online that we were oppressing them. And I said, your sin oppresses you. We're calling on you to repent and be saved and you can be set free. There's your president that a bunch of brain dead Christians don't have a sense enough to be thankful for. First president in years, 2 years in a row, he's missed the LGBTQ month. Your last president lit the White House up with the fag flag. And you got a president now who just ignores the nonsense. Thank God for Donald Trump. You know what? I don't care who gets mad at me. I don't care who out there. I get email and stuff. You know what? You can take a flying leap if you don't like it. I thank God for this president. And if he turns on us next week, I'll be up here denouncing it. But up to this point, anybody, any of your relatives, I don't care if it's your own mother, if she ain't thankful for this man, she's stupid. Christians have got to wake up. You find you got a little bit of reprieve. You better be thankful for it. That's it. Israel, they were not thankful for their kings. Like Josiah, Hezekiah, they were thankless boobs. And as soon as Hezekiah died or Josiah died, they all showed their true colors. That's what America is right now. But I thank God for that man. I don't care if he's even doing it for the wrong reason. I still thank God for him. All right, that's it. Let's get into the Bible study. Daniel 10, 1 through 21. We're going to do the whole chapter. The reason we're going to go through the whole chapter is, we went line by line from Daniel 9, 24, 27. I don't know how many studies. I didn't count them. I think we did about 7 or 8. But we go as fast as we need to go and as slow as we need to go. So it kind of equals out. Sometimes we'll cover 3 words and sometimes 3 verses and sometimes a whole chapter. But we're going to cover Daniel's last vision in the last 3 chapters of Daniel, 10, 11, 12. And so it begins here in Daniel chapter 10, covering verses 1 through 21. And I just thought I'd give something. We'll see in this text that he was standing on the Tigris, and he's looking out, and it doesn't really indicate what time of day, but I just picture him out there at sunset, and this beautiful sunset that we got a picture of. This is actually out. This is taken in my backyard. That picture right there, the clouds, and I just picture him on the Tigris. Outside of Babylon, Hiddekel is a biblical word for it. And there's Dan, somebody tell him he's got pizza waiting on him. But setting, the picture of Daniel, we'll talk more about that as we go through it. But I want you to kind of keep that in mind as we begin to study the picture. And I only want to read the first 10 verses, and then we'll start going through it, and then I'll have you read the others with me as we go through. But read the even. I'll read the odd. You join in the even. Beginning of verse 1, it says, "In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the 1st month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in collar to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." Now the remainder of Daniel 10, 11, 12, that's 3 chapters remaining. It's a cohesive unit that is divided into 3 major parts. Now, you have 21 verses in chapter 10, and chapter 11 is a long 45 verses, and then chapter 12 is a short 13 verses. And I've heard some men complain, say, "Well, I think they should have just left that as one chapter." And I said, "No, actually, it was very well done. It's broken up into 3 parts by chapter, and it really works out very nicely." It's amazing how when you stop being a critic and you just look at the Bible, take it as it is, you find that God's done an incredible thing. And I'm not talking about the originals. I'm talking about what He's produced in English in our King James Bible, and the chapters and the verses, everything about it. I love it. I wouldn't change a thing about it. I think there's something wrong with a man when he stands up there and says, "Well, I think the King James would be better if it was this or that." Like, just shut up. I mean, you know, everybody's got to sound like they're smarter than everybody else and all that. No, this book is much smarter than me. This book is much superior to me or anyone else I've ever known, and I'm sure it's anyone who ever lived. It's all about the book. Verse 1 started out by saying, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. And by this time, Daniel is retired from public service and he's around 90 years of age. Now, I want to just tell you ahead of time, some of these timelines are very difficult to track. And don't get lost in that, trying to figure out every jot and tittle of the timeline, because what you need is a general understanding. You're talking about a 90-year-old man who is basically retired. You remember, he was the president of Babylon. And the king basically let Daniel run things the way Joseph did in Egypt under the Pharaoh. And all these years later now, around 90 years of age, it said that Daniel, and it said whose name was called Belteshazzar. And that was a name given to him. And that's kind of what has happened to you and me. Because you have a name right now, and it's really a pagan name. You say, how's that? Well, because there are very few people whose names my name's Gregory. That's a Greek name, and it has pagan connections. The Gregorian calendar. Although, I still have this thing here, Tracy, this Gregory, watchman, watchful. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I need a cape. But one of these days, if you're saved, one of these days you're going to get a new name. See? So your name right now, temporary. It's your earthly name. And it's like, you know, Superman had the name Clark Kent, but he was really Superman. Well, your Clark Kent is your name now. And one of these days you're going to be better than Superman. Think about that? I mean, that's serious. You're going to be better than Superman. You won't have any kryptonite. You'll be better than Superman. Why? Because you're going to be like Jesus, and He's better than Superman. Amen. So that's just an important tidbit. And then it goes on to say, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. In other words, this is a prophecy about the far distant future when it says the time appointed was long. It's in the far distant future to Daniel. It's very close to our day and age, I believe. You see that? Daniel's looking far into the future. He's looking into, I think, just a few years from now. That's pretty exciting. Now Daniel recounts the circumstances at the time he received this final prophetic vision. In verse 2, we see that it says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. It's safe to assume that he is mourning the fact that he will not be returning to the Jewish homeland. Kind of like Moses, who wasn't able to go into the promised land. Daniel was taken out as a very young man and is not going to go back. And it's also very likely that he's not happy with the fact that, if you go back and read in Ezra, that there wasn't a big response to the opportunity to go back. And the rebuilding was not going very well there at first. And so it's likely that that's what he was mourning as well. So Daniel could have returned to Israel with those who had done so 3 years prior. We can only guess that his age kept him from doing so. He was 90. His heart was there. I'm sure he wanted to be there, but he's 90. Here you go. There's the map. Let's say old Daniel decided he's going to walk back to Jerusalem. Well, even people, you have to be in really good shape to walk about 4 miles per hour for 8 hours in a day. And if you could do 4 miles per hour for eight hours, that's 32 miles. So he had walked for 23 and a half days. A 90-year-old man, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. Even if he went half that speed, 2 miles per hour, it'd be 16 miles in an 8-hour day. It would take him 47 days. Now, here's how I expect he would have been walking. And I don't have a cane, I'll use this thing here. Okay. We're going to get to Jerusalem. Okay. 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 Time for a break. See, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you got to get real with it. You know what I mean? He's 90. Well, I don't know. I think he wouldn't make it. I think he would have been, if he could have lived that long, he would have arrived about the time Jesus was born. And that's desert terrain. 750 miles from home. Here, he would walk through this, by the way. That's yesterday's Baghdad current weather report, which is just north of Babylon. 107 degrees, but it's sunny. So I don't think most people would make it in that weather, no matter how good shape they're in. So you have a 90-year-old man in 533 B.C., he's not making that trip. Can we say amen? So verse 3 then says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks are fulfilled. So at age 90, he goes 3 weeks without meat or a bath. And he's not doing it for show. He's doing it because that's how brokenhearted he is. And I love Daniel. And the more every time I read through the book of Daniel, it just makes you love him even more. And then I didn't even realize the first few times I read through it that we're talking at this point, this faithful old man who served as God his whole life, loved the Lord. He wanted to go back home. But he was stuck in Babylon. Who's that sound like? Ought to sound like you. You want to go home, but you're stuck in Babylon. Verse 4 says, and in the 24th day of the first month. All right, come on now. When was this? First month, Nisan. What's that mean? Right after Passover. See? But you know there's no indication they observed Passover. As a matter of fact, there's after they go back, I think it's a while before they do Passover. But you'll see that in after Moses died. It seems like they let Passover go until... who was it that held the first one after that? I'm having a lapse of memory, but that there's a homework assignment. Go back and read that. Because I know when Josiah comes along, there had been a long lapse without Passover. So we have to do some homework on that and get back on it. But Hiddekel is the Tigris today, if you look at it on the map. It's more than 2 hours by car from Babylon. That's how... So Daniel is somehow or other, I imagine, gotten to the Tigris by some means because it was... Even if he had a Ford Mustang back then, it would have taken him two hours. Yeah, he thumbed his way there. There's your map again today if you want to drive it. The Babylonian governorate, as it's called, in Iraq. And the Tigris is over. The Euphrates is close. But the Hiddekel, the Tigris, is not. It's a couple hours away. So Daniel is now going to be visited. And some believe that this is none other than the Lord Jesus. You'll see why there. If you look in verse 5 and 6, and we've read this a number of times, if you compare it with the descriptions of the glorified Jesus. He lifted up mine eyes, he says, and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephesus. And then look at verse 6. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. We talked about that Sunday in our study, that we're going to be like Jesus, and his face is as the appearance of lightning. And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And we have to compare that to Revelation 1. So go ahead and turn over there. Revelation 1. Scripture with Scripture. Best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, beginning verse 13. I'll read verse 13 while you're turning there. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, gold like an Ephesus, that we just read in Daniel. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as flame of fire. Read 15 and 16 with me. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, take a minute sometime and just compare exactly what you read in Daniel to what you read there. And it's understandable why people believe this is a pre-incarnate visitation from Jesus Christ. It's not without its difficulties. And we'll see that in verse 12 as we continue. But verse 7 says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." Does that ring a bell? Does that remind you of anything there? Saul, who became Paul, the apostle. That's in Acts 9. We're not going to read that, but it compares to Paul's road to Damascus experience. God came to Daniel, and there was other people there, and they didn't hear a thing or see a thing. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. That's what happened in Acts 9 when God and when Jesus. Now, who was it that visited Paul? It was Jesus. So you see why there's some correlations here. He was glorified. Oh yeah, that's similar. Yeah, that's right. So then 8 and 9 says, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." So before telling us the vision, Daniel tells us the effect it had on him. He was overwhelmed. And that's why I'll repeat it over and over. I don't buy the nonsense when people say, "Jesus came in my bedroom last night." And we so you passed out. You totally lost all strength and hit the floor face down, completely passed out. "No, we sat there and just talked like we was best friends." In the Bible, that's not how it happens. All of it. I'm telling you. Don't you? Are you calling me a liar? Yes, I am. And they write books and they sell them. And there's these Jewish Messianic Jews. A guy, a Jewish rabbi, he calls himself. And Jesus said not to call any man rabbi. But there's these Messianic pastors who want to be called rabbi. And then they claim Jesus visits them. And he's always the Kenny Loggins version of Jesus. He's never the glorified version. And you know what? I don't care who they are. I don't care how many followers they have on Facebook or whatever. If they say things that go against what we know the Bible says, then on them. 10:11 says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he read verse 11 with me. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So picture this frail, faithful, wonderful, the Bible says, greatly beloved, 90-year-old man, trembling in the presence of the Lord. And I think when it says he reached out and touched him, I think it's a very compassionate touch. You know, and I think I see a glimpse of that whenever we have a thunderstorm and our little shih tzu begins to shake. And Jenny reaches down and, don't shake. Oh, she just about cries. Now, Jenny would... I'm not telling you anything about Jenny that she wouldn't admit herself. Jenny is nothing but a sinner saved by grace. But she has that much compassion on a little dog. Can you imagine the compassion Almighty God has on you and me? What a wonderful God we have. You do realize He doesn't have to do that. He could just say, you know, next time Doug, you know, smashes his finger and says the S word. He could. I'm not accusing him of that. I was just joking. I'm sure he says much worse. He says, Shih Tzu! we just lost half our live stream audience right there. But I just think of how God, there's nothing stopping Him from just, you know, I've said this before, but I'm like maybe that big, and He could just go right into the lake of fire. Why doesn't He do that? Thankfully, He's not only gracious, but He is righteous. And He's promised not to do that to me. So I know He's not going to do it. If I didn't know I could take His word for it, I'd be a Muslim. Because Islam, you have no idea what that Allah is going to do with you. Muhammad himself said he doesn't know for sure he's going to heaven. Well, and he didn't. Amen. But even if Allah were real, and Muhammad were his prophet, which he's not, they even admit there's no knowing what Allah is going to do. Why? Because Allah is not really righteous and just. And so if he were the God, he would be a very bad one. But thank God, he's not the God. The God of the Bible, manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, is God. He's the Word, and He's true to His Word. Verses 12 and 13 says, Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from... Now, here's where we're getting to the difficulties of believing this is Jesus. So watch closely. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, here's the problem. Read verse 13 with me. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. See, the difficulty there is kind of obvious. The idea that Jesus had to have Michael's assistance presents a real dilemma. But there are some answers to that dilemma. Did you understand what we read before I move on? It says that he had to wait for Michael to come and help him. So that's why people are like, that can't be Jesus. He wouldn't need Michael's help.